Okay, very briefly here. In John chapter 4, Jesus Christ is confronted with a nobleman in Capernaum. And the nobleman in Capernaum has a son who is sick. And having witnessed the signs that Jesus Christ did, he asked Jesus to come to the place where he lives and heal his son. Jesus Christ says, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now remember, the Gospel of John, we said, number one, is to present the testimony of who Jesus Christ is in his deity. Wherever Christ is communicated in the Gospel of John, there is, number one, a manifestation of his deity. So his signs in the Gospel of John are to manifest his divinity. That's why we have John 1 to 18, the first 18 verses of chapter 1. Second, it is to bring a person to a place wherein with which his faith is awakened. It is also to confirm a person that wants to live in unbelief. So we see an awakening of faith, and we also see at the same time a measure of unbelief. It is there in these 21 chapters. The third one is to bring faith to a place of perfection, which means what? To bring faith to a place where it becomes mature. Is that clear? There are many issues from faith. It is for the purpose of perfecting one's faith. So in the last Sunday, we said, number one, there is the test of faith, that is in the hearing. Number two, there is the transition of faith, and that is in the abiding. And third, there is the triumph of faith, and then that is in the manifestation. So here we have Jesus Christ confronted with a man whose son is sick. And Jesus Christ says the simple statement, go, your son lives. What is it? What did he say? Go, your son. And it says here in the Gospel of John that the man believed in what Jesus Christ said, and he went his way. Now think about it. If you and I don't know about you, if I was there and Jesus Christ had to address that to me, go away and say that, I would think about, no, I need you to come to my house because your personal presence is very important with me. But this man recognized the authority of who Jesus was. It is a type of us in the New Testament that will believe even though we do not see. It is a type of the New Testament believer that will believe even though he does not see, because sight does not govern or determine our faith. The Word of God determines our faith. You understand that? The nobleman's son was healed not because he went to his home to find out whether his son was healed. He was healed because he believed in the words that Jesus said. Jesus Christ is proving a point here. In the New Testament age of grace that we live in, it is sufficient, as was said in Isaiah 55, it is sufficient for God to give us his word. It is sufficient. When you and I receive, we read the word, yes, on a daily basis, but we also receive the promise that comes from the word. We receive the promise, so we exercise faith in what God says, not what God will do. God will do because of what God has said. The believer in the New Testament is not sight oriented, he is faith word oriented. He believes. But I want you to point out to another point, and that is in chapter 11 of the book of John. Felix said, last three messages I've been speaking on the women. I said, it ended last week. So, but this is the principle. In John chapter 11, Lazarus, who is the brother of Mary and Martha, was extremely ill. And they sent messengers to Jesus saying, say to the Lord that Lazarus is ill. And Jesus Christ heard it, but chose not to respond to that appeal, but he chose to stay for 2 extra days outside of Bethany. Now Jesus Christ could have said this, go thy way, Lazarus lives. Yes or no? If he had said this to the nobleman's son in chapter 4 of John, he also said this to the centurion in Matthew chapter 8. He said, the centurion said, I am a man under authority. If I say to this person, go here, he goes. Therefore, I recognize authority. If you only say the word, you don't need to come to my house. If you say the word, my son will be healed. But he did not do it in John chapter 11 in that same way. He did not say, go your way, your servant Lazarus lives. He didn't say a word. The messengers may have come back and the sisters must have wondered what happened. So Christ, he just listened to it and he said, this is for the glory of God. What is it? A condition? A condition, a circumstance, a situation that requires tremendous urgency is a situation for Christ to reveal the glory of God. Now why, in one sense, what is Christ revealing through him coming at a time later than he could have come? In John chapter 4, he is addressing the New Testament believer in this age. Whom is he addressing? Hello? I know school is beginning tomorrow. He's addressing the New Testament believer in this age. And there are principles. But whom is he addressing in John chapter 11? He is addressing the remnant in Israel that he will show himself to. Is that clear? The principles are the same in terms of believing in both cases. But he is saying his coming later. You see, he communicated his word in John chapter 4. He is relating to us in the New Testament age of grace. But his coming later to those whom he loves, even though they possibly will belong to the church age. I presume that they must have been there in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. But his coming there in John chapter 11 is symbolic of the fact that he will once again appear to his people in the second advent. So it's an amazing thing. He could have said, go thy way, Lazarus lives. But he doesn't, because there is a point he's saying. At this present moment, there will be a rejection that I will have to experience, which would be absolutely necessary for the work to be done on the cross. What is it? There will be a rejection in order for the work to be done on the cross. In our lives, there must be those times of absolute rejection in our lives if the work of God has to be done. I have seen people trying to pacify others, trying to explain their calling, they won't understand it. The reason why they won't understand it is because at this present time, there is no need for explanation, there is need for rejection. Do you understand that? The rejection is not because they cannot be persuaded, the rejection is simply based on unbelief. It's unbelief. Christ presented enough of evidence in relationship to who he was. And he was still what? Rejected. So in this age that we live in, we have the opportunity to manifest who God is in our lives in the simplicity of faith. To the nation of Israel, that they didn't understand that. So a partial hardening of the heart and a blindness in Romans 11, 25 to 27 had to happen. And once again in the future, he will come again. A deliverer will come from Zion. In Isaiah chapter 59, he will come from Zion. And on that day, they will look up to him and they will be saved. So he does not give the word, Lazarus, what? Will live. But he says, this is for the glory of what? God. When he meets Martha, Martha says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus says, your brother will rise again. She says, I know in the resurrection. He said, no, I am the resurrection and the life. Then he goes there and he said, where have you laid him? And the question is, by now his body stinketh. And Jesus Christ said, Lazarus, come forth. And when he comes forth, says, loose him and let him go. In John 11, Israel is still in that state of blindness in typology. And therefore, Christ will have to come back in person in his glorified humanity a second time. And he will have to, in one sense, when he comes, a nation that was in darkness and blindness will be raised again. In that sense, and that is typified in Lazarus. It came personally coming to them. He did not say, go, Lazarus lives. He said, this is for the glory of God. In this age, as we live in today, many people have an opportunity in this life not just to know about Christ through the word, but to be able to see Christ through a reflected life. You shall be my witnesses, martyr, that is the word, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. We do not need to be there in every situation that demands our personal presence in this life. The urgency of the hour, the circumstances that demand our presence, that's fine, but we have the word that is given to us. Unfortunately today, there is no integrity behind the word that is given. What is it? When Christ said, go thy way, thy son liveth, there was integrity behind that word. And because there was integrity behind that word, that nobleman's son was able to understand the authority that was there behind it. Today, there is authority, but there is no integrity. Whenever God speaks, there is integrity in what he says, and there is authority behind what he says. Therefore, that man understood it, that when Jesus said, your son lives, he was not just saying it because he had other things to do. He meant what he said, your son lives. It was a statement that was absolutely certain. There was integrity, and the integrity in what Christ said to him, your son lived, caused the man to believe in what was said, and the authority that governed it caused him to go back home to his son. And on the way, he met people and he said, your son lives. And he said, at what hour? And he said, exactly at that same hour that Jesus said, your son lives. What a beautiful opportunity to live by faith in this life. Christ said, finally, he said, come to me, in Matthew 11, 27, 28. Then he said, learn of me. Then he said, in John 21, 20, follow me. He said that to the disciples early on in the ministry. In Isaiah 45:11, relationship to a person's life in prayer, he said, ask me. Ask of me. What did he say? Come to me. Then ask me, no? What can Jesus do for me? If I believe in Jesus, what can he do for me? Come to me. Learn of me. Be my disciple. See how I live. Matthew 8:20, Son of Man has no place to lay his head. See, few mosquito bites won't matter. Learn of me. And then come to me, learn of me, follow me and ask of me. This nobleman understood who Christ was. So he didn't have to come to the place where his son was because he understood who Christ was. And that is the manifestation of his deity that John is speaking about. Because of the manifestation of his deity, there was a testimony there, and he was brought to a place where his faith was awakened. And because his faith was awakened, he believed, his faith was perfected. How his faith was perfected? His son, he received his son back because he believed. Is that clear? Whenever God does a work in our life and faith is awakened in us in any specific way, it will always be perfected by him. So he who began a good work in you will what? Perfect it until the day of Christ. It is the plan of the enemy to abort faith in its inception. What is it? It is a plan of the enemy to abort faith in its inception, because he does not want the believer to go enter into the transition of faith where his faith would be nurtured and it would be watered it would be cultivated to a place where he would enter into maturity. So many believers do not end up fruit like fruit bearers in Matthew chapter 13. They don't end up with fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. They don't end up because at some point of time in the first three conditions of the hearers, their faith is aborted in some way. Even though the seed was sown, it did not result in it being perfected because the enemy came in and basically caused their faith to be aborted at some point of time, because they were not people that lived in the integrity and the authority of who Christ was. They allowed sight, circumstances, care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, etc., to come in and choke the word in their lives. And that is why we see in the body of Christ the beauty. Some are in the first stage, there is the test of faith, hearing. Some are in the transition of faith, they are abiding, and then some are in the triumph of faith and they are manifesting. And as one is manifesting, the one that is in the test of faith is able to see that, and they're able to be sustained because of there is a manifestation, there is a transition, and there is all this is simultaneously happening in the body of Christ. So a new believer comes and he's going through a struggle. The person that has gone through that struggle has an opportunity to say, don't worry, it's going to be well, all is well with my soul. You say, how can you say that? I have been through that test of faith. I have been through the transition of faith. And now I am in the place where there is a triumph of faith. And I can tell you that God is faithful. There is integrity in what he says. And there is authority behind what he does. Don't you ever trade that life for anything else. Because this is the only time in our life on planet earth that we will be able to exercise one thing that really pleases God the most, and that is faith. So Father, we thank you for this morning and each one that has come into the room today. We thank you for all that was communicated to us, all that we have seen through the audio visual, for these men from the Gideons that come, for the ministry that they have in terms of distributing Bibles and placing them in places so that people will receive the word of God. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, we pray. If there's anybody in this place today that is not a believer in Christ, you are come here for the first time, you've come here before, you've never placed your faith in Christ to be saved, you can in your heart say, Jesus, save me for my sin. I believe you shed your blood for me. I cannot save myself. I want to believe in what you did for me on the cross, where you died shed your blood for me, and I want to receive today the forgiveness of sins. Good works cannot take me to heaven. Going to church regularly on Sundays cannot take me to heaven. Being good cannot take me to heaven. Receiving the free gift of salvation in Christ can only do that. Is there anybody here that wants to believe? You can slip up your hand, or you can say, Jesus, save me, forgive me. Come into my heart now to live. And make me your child, Father, today. We pray. You've done that once, you don't have to do it again. In Jesus' name, amen. And you are dismissed.